In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Our scriptures each Sunday are chosen for us by the National Church. But before I begin my prepared sermon, let me repeat the first four verses of our first lesson, as they are very appropriate for today's Stewardship Sunday. Quote, "Give to the Most High as He has given to you, and as generously as you can afford. For the Lord is the one who repays, and He will repay you sevenfold. Do not offer Him a bribe, for He will not accept it. And do not rely on a dishonest sacrifice, for the Lord is the judge." Unquote. Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? Each day the queen would stand before her magical reflecting glass and pose this question. And each day without fail, the mirror would reply, "You are the fairest in the land." Then the queen would happily go about her business. But there came the day when the queen once again stood before her mirror and queried, "Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all?" And the magical mirror, which could only reflect the truth, answered, "Snow White. Snow White is the fairest of them all." The queen flew into a rage, unable to bear the truth, and, well, you know the rest of the story. From today's gospel, the Pharisee went up to the temple to pray. He stood by himself, and praying before the mirror of the Eternal, he informed the mirror of his exceeding righteousness. "I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector standing nearby. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of my income." The mirror of the Eternal, like the queen's magical mirror, can only reveal truth. But unlike the fairy tale queen, the Pharisee never asked the mirror of the Eternal to verify his righteousness. To this Pharisee, it was self-evident, not even to be questioned. But the tax collector, standing at some distance, would not even look into the mirror of the Eternal, but instead beat his breast as a sign of contrition and prayed, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." If the tax collector had dared to gaze into the mirror of the Eternal, he would have been astonished to see the loving face of God gazing back at him. "For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted." What do you see when you look into your bathroom mirror each morning? Do you see the image you expect or want to see? Do you perhaps see a younger self, free of cares and wrinkles and puffy eyes? Do you gaze into the mirror carefully, looking only at the individual details until the shaving and the hair combing and the makeup application is complete? Would you honestly want to have a magic mirror which would always tell you the truth? Would you dare to look into such an eternal mirror? Now, in our second lesson, we see Paul figuratively looking at his mirror at the time of his death, as described in our first three verses. Quote, "As for me, I am already being poured out as a libation, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." Unquote. Now, to gaze in the into the mirror of the eternal requires courage. But most of the grace of repentance and humility, most of all, the grace of repentance and humility. How much of the truth are we willing to hear? How much of God's truth are we willing to see? Our answer is directly proportional to our willingness to gaze at our own sinfulness, to gaze into the mirror of the eternal. Means looking into God's eyes and seeing the truth of who we really are reflected there. To see that reflection, to know it is the truth, to be willing to ask God's forgiveness, to be prepared to let God change our image so that it conforms more closely to the image God intended. Now we cannot do this ourselves. Tithing like the Pharisees, although helpful to our faith community, especially on the Stewardship Sunday, or fasting twice a week, or any of the other pious works we may practice, cannot by themselves bring about conversion. Conversion begins within as God's love and mercy and grace transform our hearts. Until as we gaze upon the mirror of the eternal, we see our sinfulness. Now, to paraphrase Evelyn Underhill, a very well-known Christian writer, it is only when we become willing to go through the desolate valley of our own sinfulness that we will find it a place of springs, that we will know that you, O Lord, are in the midst of us. We are called by your name. That, to complete Evelyn Underhill's phrase, as we gaze upon our sinfulness, we see God. This is the truth of repentance and humility. This is the blessing of repentance and humility, that we can stand before the mirror of the eternal and know the truth that sets us free. Then we will have a need, as the Pharisee, to stand apart from the tax collector and the sinners. We will know that we too are sinners and will no longer need to take comfort in presumptuous prayer. We will no longer need to set up barriers between us and them. We will be able to stand among our neighbors, no longer able to despise them, because we now see ourselves in them. Like them, we are totally dependent upon God's mercy and forgiveness and love. Each of us thankful for God's mercy and forgiveness and love. Always ready to give whatever small measure of that mercy and forgiveness and love which we possess to others. In the beginning of repentance, conversion and humility, we will at last find the contentment and peace of mind which we seek. Amen.